Welcome to Think Like the Enemy, the podcast where we challenge the conventional wisdom and explore alternative viewpoints on the world's most pressing issues. Your host is Frankie Aviles, and every week he'll be joined by a guest commentator to debate the pros and cons of some of the most controversial and consequential policies and actions in history. Even if history is today. From climate change to human rights, from trade wars to cyber attacks, and from democracy to authoritarianism, we'll try to understand the logic, motivations, and implications of the different sides of the argument. Whether you're curious about the complexity and diversity of global politics, or you want to broaden your perspective and critical thinking, this podcast is for you. So tune in and get ready to think like the enemy.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Frankie again with another Think Like the Enemy. Today we have a lot of things to cover, but we're going to start with what we're going to try to cover throughout the whole program. The first thing we need to talk about is the State of the Union. We're going to talk to you about the thoughts of the State of the Union, how it might have gone for a lot of the people watching it, and then more so, what is my actual thought on how the perception from an enemy would be when it comes to this particular piece of propaganda, if you would. Then we're going to talk about the actual push of California wages being pushed to $20 minimum an hour. It is something that impacts a lot of people and something that could be beneficial for many, but it can be very, very negative for a lot of other people. We have on top of that how the U.S. Treasury is unable to track billions of dollars of spending in Ukraine. They're unable to track trillions of dollars that actually got misplaced. But yet again, they're able to track $5 from you and I, and then you can go to jail. Last but not least, we have an actual expressions that were made by Senator Tuberville warning Steve Bannon of something the actual Biden administration is going to do very, very soon. And then we have an actual reporting from somebody abroad that sent me what is happening right now in Sana'a, Yemen. It's a very interesting, again, another piece of propaganda from the world. So with that being said, if you like, share, and enjoy this type of comment, please comment on everything that we're doing. Please share it with your friends. Tell somebody else. So now let's dive right in. We have that the first thing that we see here, for those of you who are not watching, it is a picture that I took on my phone of the actual debate, or not debate, I'm sorry. It sounded more like a debate, but it was more of the actual MAGA hat that Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene was actually wearing at the time of the actual State of the Union address, and how Biden's face looked and Chuck Schumer in the back looking like, what the hell? It's pretty impressive. You can look at it on X. Now, let's see what we have here.
January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. January 6th lies.
According to the President of the United States, the threat from January 6th was bigger than the actual threat from the Civil War. Interesting. Because to me, it just seems like a very backwards kind of State of the Union. The State of the Union address was actually one that I have never seen it so politicized. And the State of the Union should be the actual remarks from the President of the United States to where the actual American, we're going to say executive branch, is going to. How is the State of our Union? It is basically within the name. It is stupid to think otherwise that it is an actual political rally, because it isn't. The State of the Union address, it is one to be unifying. And it always starts like this. Mr. Speaker, the state of our nation has never been better. And then it goes on from there. This particular time, we saw that the President of the United States had a very different agenda. His agenda, one that can be analyzed and identified as everything that doesn't matter to the regular voter is exactly what he hit on this particular issue. He went on to basically entice the freaking Supreme Court, telling them that American women had more power electorally. And then he went back, no, voting, and you're going to see about it. It's ridiculous. Second, about IVF. Because IVF is an actual issue that touches every American. Then he went on to talk about the Republican Party and how Trump supporters and the MAGA movements were the biggest threats to American democracy. It's not China. It's not China pushing the shit that they're pushing. God forbid. It's actually Trump and the MAGA Republicans, the ones that are the biggest issue for America. Then we have that throughout the whole thing, he was just basically just coughing up a storm. Meanwhile, this is what's going on in California. We have that in California, wages are going to actually move to $20 an hour for some actual service industry people. What is that going to entail for the actual consumer trying to buy something? I'll tell you something. The other day, I went to an actual fast food restaurant, and it was Five Guys. Five Guys charged me $47.99 for two hamburgers, a bag of fries, and a cheese. I think it was like a little cheese sandwich for my son. $47, two Cokes. That's what we're seeing in America. We're seeing in America that going to fast food right now is a luxury. That it is better for you to eat at home, which we do. We just happen to be in an appointment for my son. And a lot of people were giving me a lot of grief online, and I don't really give a shit. But in hindsight, we ate out because we had to. We were in an appointment. It was 2 o'clock. We didn't have any food with us. So we went out and we bought some fucking food like every other American does. But now we have to shop and actually think accordingly. Because I don't know about you, buddy, but I don't have $50 every single time that I want to go out and eat. It's just not possible. Now let's hear this guy out.
So the White House is unable to track billions of dollars sent to Ukraine, and the U.S. Treasury is unable to track trillions of dollars in pandemic spending. Yet the IRS wants to know where your $5.38 is, or you're going to jail.
There was an actual notion in the United States of America that that is one of the reasons that people got fed up with the colonies and the debt issues. People that were in debt and that were being sent to jail by corporations on the dime of the actual taxpayer because the crown decided that that was what they wanted to do. And today we're seeing that the IRAs is being completely weaponized in a way that we have never yet seen before. It is quite stupid, asinine, backwards, completely un-American. But yet again, the IRS can do it because they have the power. We have given them the power to do so. Another misconception in America. A corporation cannot do that. You owe that corporation alone. They can harm your actual credit scores, and that's it. There's nothing else around it. There's nobody else going to be coming around here and telling you, you're going to jail because you owe this money, unless you owe the government. But they make it their own actual debt, so then they can put you in jail. Something that should be completely taken away from the freaking American people. It is the ability of the government to send you to jail because you owe somebody something. That is ridiculous. From the actual State of the Union address, we have that the Gold Star dad, who heckled Biden during the SOTU, the State of the Union address, was arrested and charged with a misdemeanor. He's a Gold Star dad, Mr. Steve Nicoyu, began repeatedly shouting Abby Gate in reference to the highly criticized withdrawal from Afghanistan. My heart goes out to Mr. Nicoyu and his family for his loss. The withdrawal on Afghanistan was one of the worst things that has ever happened to the American people.
I guarantee you,
because we completely lost 20 years of our life dealing with this particular war. On top of that, we have that the president said that they're going to actually put a barge or an actual makeshift, we can say, pier closer to Gaza so they can actually help the Palestinian people. A very interesting notion when the U.S. is not supposed to actually get into any war in the Middle East right now. But that's not the biggest push, and we have the reason why. And Senator Tuberville is going to warn Steve Bannon about this in Real Voice America today. Let's hear him.
Getting ready to happen. I'm hearing rumors, 400,000 to 600,000 of these Palestinians in Gaza, we're going to fly them in here, make them citizens. That's the next thing.
You're making news here. Hit us with that again.
Well, think about it. They're not going to take them in.
Egypt not going to do it.
No, they're not going to take
Jordan
them in. Well,
says,
they know who they are.
Jordan says, no thanks. We kicked them out. No thanks.
The Saudis aren't going to take them. Nobody wants them. And so what's going to happen is old Joe, to win back his base, because a lot of them have gotten killed, said, okay, we'll bring in 500,000 to 600,000 of them. We'll fly them in. I mean, he doesn't even have to tell us he's doing it. Did he tell us about 325,000 he's flown in? No. They do things and don't tell you. And so they'll bring them in, like the ones that Obama brought into Minneapolis and Minnesota and, you know, all the, was it Somalians, I think?
Somalia.
Yeah, brought all those people in.
We got Omar because of that.
Yeah, well, get ready. Here they come.
It is a very interesting notion, the one that Senator Tuberville of Alabama actually sending out, because that is what he's hearing in Capitol Hill. And we thank you, Senator, for your service to this nation, for us to know, the American people, what is coming our way. How are we going to feel when we have 700,000 new immigrants in our country legally, because they have been provided papers, that have a possibility, one in every thousand, to be a terrorist? How do we feel about that? How do we feel about Hamas sympathizers in the United States of America? We have that the FBI is looking for an Iranian actual IRGC commander that is in America, in Miami, where I live in freaking Florida, going back and forth from Florida to Venezuela to actually recruit people to have an attack done in our United States. And yet again, here we are peddling the fucking idea again that we need to bring more people into our actual shores. For no reason. This is not a problem of the United States of America. This is a problem of Israel. Israel should deal with it. Hamas had an actual two-state solution, and it is something that he touched about yesterday. We need a two-state solution at the end of this. No, we do not. They had a two-state solution. The two-state solution did not work. Hamas spat in the face of Israel. Again, so is Yemen. So is actually Syria. So is Lebanon. There is no two-state solution anymore, Mr. President. I am sorry to tell you. The American people don't give a shit if they have a two-state solution today. They don't. Because at the end of the day, you're just sending our tax dollars abroad for your own personal gain. That's what it looks like. And this is allegedly. We don't know that for a fact, but that's exactly what it feels like. Because you didn't hear garbage about China yesterday. You did hear about Russia, about how Ukraine, we needed to give them more money. Yet again, we can't even track the $60 billion and where they are. But in hindsight, Ukraine needs us to win this war. Right. Right. They sure need us. They're not going to win. I'm sorry to tell you. The Russian military will crush them as they're doing right now. So yet again, we send them our money and we don't see anything for it. Ridiculous. You're a disgrace to this country, sir. You shouldn't be in your charge. You should be completely taken out by boat. No other way. The American people should speak and tell you, sir, you are done. Thank you for your service, but no thank you. We don't want you again. And that's it. It is ridiculous that we're sitting here and debating this when we know exactly the writing in the wall. It is that the president of the United States is not capable of being at the head of the helm, period. There's no other way around it. Last piece of news that I have for you is an actual video from a very good friend of mine in the Middle East, and he sent me the following. Let me play it for you. For those of you who don't understand what that means, it means death to America, death to the infidels, death to the capitalists, death to everybody else. It is a humongous, and when I say humongous, formation in actual Yemen, in Sana'a. And this is what the tweet was translated to. This is how the capital, Sana'a, on the last Friday of Shaban, as well as most of the capitals of the Yemeni governorates, there you go, and directorates continue with the solidity, I think it was more solidarity, but whatever, and escalating violence with the Palestinian people in Gaza, tirelessly or bored, in their million demonstration today entitled, A Victory for Gaza or Blows Are Mounting. When we're saying thousands of people, this is like three or four like actual inaugurations put together. That's how big it looks over here. And this is how people feel abroad by the United States of America and the pushes that our very, very incapable president has been able to do. He's so incapable that the federal government ran a $298 billion deficit in February, despite continued solid revenues. That is over $10 billion a day. More deficit spending means more upward pressure on inflation. And unless Washington does the right thing, it will get worse. This is from David Ditch. For those of you who don't know who David Ditch is, he's a fiscal hawk and transportation analyst for The Heritage. You can follow him on at David A. Ditch on X. And this is completely it for today's broadcast. Very quick, very concise, very straight to the point. The issues that we have in America, how they're unfolding, and what is the perspective. And here's the perspective. First of all, let me tell you where you can find the perspective. You can find the perspective of my book, Beyond the Border, Envisioning and Analyzing the Adversary's Tactics. Today, we see that America, it is completely taken out of context what the American people want. The State of the Union address was a piece of propaganda that I have never seen before in my life. The State of the Union should be an address to the nation as one, not dividing the actual aisles in the halls of Congress, not peddling to the idea that the actual Supreme Court will find out who the American people are. The Supreme Court doesn't need to find out who the actual American people are. The Supreme Court is here to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to uphold the law of our land. There's nothing else that we need to do when it comes to this subject. But yet again, the President of the United States feels otherwise. The agenda last night was very clear. America is not first, at least not for this president. But fortunately, we have somebody that is for America. And this is not an actual paid advertisement for Donald J. Trump. But the only other candidate that we have right now that more than likely will be confirmed in July, it is Donald J. Trump. So if you want to change the things that are happening in America, guess what? Do it. Vote. Change the president of the United States. There's no other way around it. You cannot do anything else other than do the right thing and vote. If you like this type of content, I thank you for being here, first of all. Second, like, share, comment, subscribe. That's all we need to do. We need to continue to have these arguments, these ideas, these actual sharing of information, exactly how it is, with no alteration, just the information right in front of you. And if you think that this was beneficial for you, give it a like, give it a thumbs up. I appreciate your time. I thank you for it. God bless you. God bless America. Now we'll see you in the next one. And remember to always think like the enemy.
That's it for this episode of Think Like the Enemy. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion and gained new insights and perspectives on today's issue. If you did, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform and share this episode with your friends. You can also follow us on social media and send us your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future topics. Thank you for listening. And remember, the best way to understand the world is to think like the enemy. Until next time, Frankie A. Miles, signing off.